Welcome back to another episode of the On Deck Circle podcast. I am your handsome host, Nick Zanabone. You can find me on Twitter at NZanabone93. I need my friend Jason in here because I've been saving something for him. Jason, one, I appreciate that you have not texted me or tweeted at me any slander against my boss.
I wanted to give you some space during this morning period.
I'm currently drinking a Miami Defeat.
Oh, okay.
Which is fantastic. I wish we had like some sort of warrior something, but
right.
We are here. I was there when they won.
Is that a stout?
No. No.
IPA?
It was. Yes. It's a 6%er. I'll take
it. All right. Nick's getting loose on the pod.
Well, the boys. I was there. I did leave early because I was not dealing with that shit.
Right.
I was very upset. I was like genuinely sad. And I thought of all two people, loser franchises, what better person to talk to are Jason and Dave? So Dave, come in. Tell me about how much your team suck.
Whoa. Hold on a second. How much my team – listen, my team suck hard. Yeah, they suck really bad. So,
but Javi Baez just hit a home run off of Dick Mountain. So you're doing good right now.
Well, that's his fault for throwing the ball within a foot of the strike zone. Jason, Javier Baez, man, like, come on, dude.
Hey, you don't worry. By the end of the season, man, he'll be. It's like a back of the baseball card, man. By the end of the season, he'll be back up to his 250 with his 250. 30 home runs.
Yeah, he ain't hitting 30 home runs.
Cool plays.
He's made some great plays at shortstop, don't get me wrong, but Javier Baez is the most extreme player I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, literally, what he's going to have to do, and I'm guessing he might be at the beginning of it, he's going to have to hit, like, 400 for, like, 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden he'll be up to, like, you know, 250 because that's the only way he can get, you know, to having decent numbers is just he's so bad for so long, and then he's got to have a short burst of he's just absolutely out of this world.
And that's exactly what he will do. That is what he'll do.
So annoying. I he's fun to watch on defense. I enjoy it.
I've been through it, man.
That's crazy. All right, let's get to Dynasty Core, boys.
Boom, boom, boom.
I've been so busy. I got this new daily thing going on for MLB DFS, and
I like it.
A little intro for this Dynasty Court, but I'm almost thinking it's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
So as simple as it would be, and the fact that I wouldn't even do most of the work, I just got to kind of give it off to somebody. But just even that's a little much. So, Nick, why don't you go ahead and run us into what we're talking about, or arguing about this week?
All right. I was actually told that I did a good job at finding my Dynasty Court question, I suppose. But we're talking about a position that I absolutely despise, and that is catcher. Dave or Jason, do either of you like catchers in general, like before we even start?
I mean, no. I have a very dirty comment, but I will just leave it, and I will say no. Catcher is my second least favorite position next to relief pitching.
Okay.
Relief pitching can absolutely suck my ass. Catchers can just lick my taint.
Okay, great.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you kept that G rated.
It's a lot better than what I was.
I mean, it is true. So, it is.
It is my fucking live stream. I'll do whatever I want.
Very true. All right. We are talking about Wilson Contreras, and you are going to tell me why he is either the catcher for this whole season, for the remainder of the season, or if he is not. And we're going to start with the winner last week, which I believe was Jason. Yeah, there you go.
I always get it backwards. I just got to think, Jason, which way do I think it is?
1 minute starting at 5 minutes. Ready, set, go. Opening statement, go.
All right. Well, when you're thinking about fantasy baseball and the, you know, most leagues go with like a 5x5, you know, roto or even categories. So if you look at those breakdowns of what Willie ranks in, first among all catchers in home runs with 12, runs with, believe it or not, 40, slugging percentage, WOBA. And if you also want to talk about some more statisticals that you might count in fantasy, second in batting average, second in OBP. I mean, you can maybe ding him down a little bit for the RBIs because he's in such a disgraceful offense that is the Chicago Cubs. Still, 40 runs scored. I mean, the RBIs aren't there, but he still hits in the heart of an order. So he's going to get some chances at some point along the rest of the season. So, yeah, I mean, that's right now my first opening statements.
Perfect. With 10 seconds to spare, Dave, you will start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Blast off.
Oh, he's muted.
He's we muted. He's wasting time.
Earlier. That's fine. I don't need all the minute here for my opening statement. So I think that it's really hard to say that any particular player is going to finish half of a season like for sure as the number one guy. And I'm going to save a little bit of this for later. But if we just a little later on here, I'm going to break down just kind of sections of time and some stats. And I'm just going to show that it's going to be not next impossible. It's going to be very hard for him to be like for sure, like the number one catcher, like to where you're going to put money on one guy. Like you kind of have to take the field on something like this. I'm not saying that Wilson Contreras, you know, isn't one of the better catchers, or maybe he could be the best catcher, but to bank on him being the best catcher for the rest of the season is kind of a foolish, you know, statement.
All right. Fantastic. Dave, we're going to stick with you. We'll do a little snake draft. Yeah, and my question for you is, what catcher would you value-wise rather have? So say you have Wilson Contreras and another catcher like a tier down from him, and you want to trade Wilson Contreras just because you're like, I really don't care about catchers, as you said. What catcher would you feel comfortable doing that with, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of goes against the question a little bit. I mean, I guess my main argument is simply that I think somebody else is going to end up being the best catcher. Mm-hmm. With that being said, though, I do have two different answers for you. Number one, Salvador Perez, I think, has every opportunity to beat him out. The guy obviously is a great power hitter. He's put up pretty decent numbers, you know, not just on the season, but here recently as well. He's the highest scoring catcher over the last 14 days, and he's actually the highest scoring catcher by a lot over the last 14 days. The other guy that I'll give you is Alejandro Kirk. I don't think he's at any fear of losing at bats. That would kind of be my main issue with Moreno coming back up, but between, you know, DHing and catching, I think Kirk has every opportunity. Over the last 30 days, him and Contreras are pretty close to similar in their stats.
All right. Great job, Dave. I commend you on everything you just said.
Thanks, buddy.
You didn't tell me before the show or anything. Jason, no. Your question. Do you find that you being a Cubs fan is making you think this way? Because I know if he played for the Red Sox, I'd say he's like the greatest catcher of all time.
Yeah, that's true. But no, I think the biggest reason why, you know, we do these, you know, fantasy baseball analysts and, you know, we do these podcasts is you got to remove yourself as the fan.
Can't do it.
I mean, I can. So I found as years have gone on and I've gotten more and deeper into this baseball stuff, it's like, yeah, my favorite team's the Cubs, but I also root more for the players now more than I do actually teams. Other than until it gets about the playoffs, then you know, they start rooting for teams. But yeah, no, it doesn't persuade my bias.
Okay, thank you very much. Closing arguments, Jason, do you have one?
Yes. So when we're talking about, you know, can he be the number one catcher the rest of this year? I think we can, because we've seen him perform like this before. He's had 20 plus home runs in every season since 2017. Yeah, if you take out the shortened COVID season and then in 2018. But he's also had double-digit home runs every season. And then when you talk about, you know, not just the counting stats, you know, the average and the OBP, which are also categories usually in roto leagues, they obviously he can, you know, hang with the big boys there too. He's got high average, high OBP. Then you look at the range of outcomes for catchers – I think the outlier last year was Salvador Perez's 48 home runs. I don't think we're ever going to see a catcher hit that many. So if you're talking about a catcher that's going to hit 25, 30 home runs, you know, with a 270, 250 average, yeah, I mean, I think that's possible from Willie's this season. So,
okay, Dave,
muted again.
Fucking damn it! I gotta keep coughing, and I mute it. Anyway, so long story short here, I just think that the likelihood of somebody else, you know, being the number one guy for the rest of the year is just, it's just too likely. If we go back, we look at the last 60 days, Wilson Contreras is the number one catcher by a decent amount. If we just then go back the last 30 days, him and Alejandro Kirk are basically dead even. If we go back to the last 14 days, Salvador Perez is far and away better. As a matter of fact, Contreras is all the way down to the fifth best. So he's slowly been losing ground over the last, you know, month of time. And again, just, I mean, I'm going to take the field over one individual whenever I don't think Wilson Contreras is, like, obviously, like an elite catcher at just a different level than everyone else. He's a great catcher, offensively speaking. And yes, he could end up as number one. But again, I'm taking the field over this one for sure.
All right. My ruling. Find my gavel. Dave wins it. Always take the field, Jason. No matter what. Always got to.
Was that a bottle of, like, Adderall or something? Yeah, right. What the fuck was that? Melatonin. So I was close. All right. Listen, as a Tigers fan, I don't get a whole lot, okay? So we're going to lead off the show here by talking about Riley Green getting promoted. And it's a big day if you're a Tigers fan, or it was a big day if you're a Tigers fan, because Riley Green all of a sudden jump-started the, you know, one of the worst offenses in MLB history. And this is a kid who I think, you know, consensus top three prospect. Some people have him one, some people have him two. He plays a position of need for the Tigers in the outfield as well. And since he's been called up, again, it's the smallest sample size possible, almost 13 plate appearances. But, you know, the biggest thing is he's been walking, getting on base. That's something that the Tigers have really lacked, but it's a really good, you know, skill to have, you know, for fantasy as well. Specifically, obviously, if you're in an OBP league, that's a huge help. But this kid has all the makings of being a, you know, perennial top 10 outfielder, you know, should be a perennial top 25, you know, player year in and year out. I expect that the Tigers offense is going to get better in time. So he shouldn't be just an outlier, you know, on a terrible team. There's not really a whole lot he doesn't do. I mean, he doesn't have prestigious power, but, you know, he's got enough to be serviceable by far. He's not a speed demon, but he'll steal you enough bags to make a difference. You know, good OBP skills, good batting average skills. He's going to bat at the top / middle of that lineup for a very long time. So super excited if you've got Riley Green and been holding on to him for any period of time. That's my inside take. I don't know who just got murdered, but if ever, whoever is alive, if they want to go ahead and chime in with their thoughts.
May have been a murder upstairs.
He's currently up at the plate. There's one strike. We are going to lie. No.
Play by play.
I actually debated getting tickets to one of the games just because the Tigers suck. So the tickets are pretty cheap. It's like $16. But I did not make that decision and go. However, I am excited to eventually catch a Riley Green game. And I would love to have him on any of my teams. But you know what? Not going to have him.
Yeah, I got him. I've only got him in one place. And I actually drafted him in my first year player draft. Yeah. Because he's always had a pretty decent value. As a matter of fact, So fun fact, the first time I saw Riley Green live was, I think, what had it been, 3 years ago? I guess I want to say 2 years ago, but they didn't have minor league baseball 2 years ago. So it had to be 3 years ago. And I watched him here in Lansing, and at the time it would have been low A. And I was nervous as hell because he had the goofiest looking little hitch in his swing. And I was scared to death. I'm like, how? I don't know if this kid's going to be able to hit when he gets up to, you know, to better pitching unless he makes a swing adjustment, and he has made a swing adjustment because he doesn't have that crazy hitch anymore. But when I first saw him live, I went, "Ah, fuck! Like this isn't. I'm not happy about this." And he just happened to have a bad series, anyways. But either way, I wasn't super super thrilled, but I am now. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, no, I think you kind of nailed everything on the head. You've been holding this guy for a while. He was a former top five overall pick, I think fifth overall pick in, I think, like 2019. So he has been highly touted for a while now. We were just short of seeing him on the opening day roster, albeit from an injury, but he finally made his debut. And yeah, like I said, a small sample size, but he did have a 990 OPS. So this could be a spark that the Tigers need. Maybe Baez will get going now, too, in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the next big call up here. This is O'Neill Cruz, who has already been setting records. Guy threw a 97 mile an hour throw from shortstop to first.
Ridiculous.
It is. And then he hit a ball, 121 miles an hour or something, was the exit velo or just something. Yeah. It was just something absolutely ridiculous. So this kid's obviously the real deal. We're finally seeing him now that how ironic that the, Super 2 deadline passes and like the next day O'Neill Cruz gets called up. I don't know that that's too big of a coincidence, but he's been absolutely fantastic in the extraordinarily short amount of time that we've seen him. I think that as long as this guy stays healthy, which is the concern with him, he's 6'7", so he's a big dude. And so I think the major concern is that he stays healthy. I don't know that with how deep shortstop is, if eventually he needs to move to third base or, corner outfield spot or something down the road. I don't know that that's going to really affect a whole lot of value for him. So I'm super excited to see him. He seems like a real likable dude. I don't know how long he'll stay in Pittsburgh. He'll probably be a Yankee in 6 years, but, either way, it's fun to see him. I'm curious if you guys have any specific thoughts on O'Neill Cruz.
I mean, this is kind of funny because, like you said, the Super 2 deadline passes and they call him up. He easily becomes Pittsburgh's best physical athlete that's on the field. He did make a small little two-game appearance last year. Some people, there was rumors of him making the opening day roster. Obviously, Pittsburgh was – they knew they were going to be bad, so what's the point of bringing him up? I know they put a little bit of incentives in this year, but I don't know if they thought, maybe more service time manipulation was more worth it than that. But here's a fun fact I saw today, too. He's appeared in three games for Pittsburgh, and all three games he's had at least one run and one RBI. Wow. And he's got three multi-hit in two of the three games, so. I'm definitely excited to see what he can do here this season.
Well, I'm seeing what he did tonight because they're winning 5-0.
Five solo homers.
No, he knocked one in. So still, like, that's ridiculous. But you kind of stole my thunder, Dave, because it was MLB Pipeline tweeted out 3 innings into his debut this year. He has the hardest throw from an infielder. At 96.7.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought it was like 96.7 or something. Yeah, I just said 97 because I wasn't
the hardest hit ball by a Pirate with 112.9, and then
okay,
three of the fastest sprint speeds from a Pirate as well. Just like he's already the best player on the team, and he's been just destroying the minors. So it's I get it. Your team sucks. You want the control, but like he's an electric factor. And he's like 7 foot tall playing shortstop.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. What was they said? They said that the shortstop for the Pirates, O'Neill Cruz, is 6'7", and the guy that started at first base that day was 5'10". Yeah. So he's 9 inches taller than the first baseman. Like that's totally backwards. It's crazy that he's still at shortstop. I've never seen him play live, but I can imagine it looks a little bit funky to have somebody so tall out there. So at some point, he's going to get moved off shortstop. I mean, granted, listen, it could literally be 8-10 years down the road, but there's going to come a point in time where he's not going to be the best shortstop option for that team. It's at some point it's going to happen. But again, so long as his bat is carrying him, which that's kind of half the point of why he's such a highly regarded prospect. I don't think it's going to matter one tiny bit where he plays. You just want him in your lineup. So speaking of guys that you want in your lineup, Manny Machado, I think, is going to hit the IL. It's not official, but I think it probably err on the side of caution here. And I don't know if his ankle's got to be better than mine, I'll tell you that. But yeah, he's got an ankle injury.
We need to talk about that as soon as we're done.
I mean, we can talk about it at the very end if you remember, and we have time. But I don't know, man. I mean, the IL stuff, it's big news because it's Manny Machado, and Manny Machado's had an absolutely fantastic season. But, I mean, I think you can expect an IL stay. It sounds like it might be for the minimum if he does go on the IL, but I don't know. Any thoughts you guys have on that?
I just want to, maybe say, if you had him on your team, it's going to be kind of hard to replace. He's been having a great season, arguably probably one of the best, if not top five players on fantasy this year. So I know that there's some probably, I don't think the Cedar Abrams owner would be giving him up, but, he's been called up now probably because Machado will be hitting the IL. So this one's going to hurt if you own Machado, though, because, yeah, he's been really good this year.
I don't care about Manny Machado being here. He doesn't play.
Yeah,
for us.
I mean, yeah. So here's the guy you cared about once upon a time, and that's Mookie Betts. You know, I gotta admit, guys. Listen, tell me what you think. I think I'm awesome at these segues. Like, I feel like something pops up, and I always just get it right in. I just toot my own horn there real quick. But Mookie Betts went on Yaya like 6 months ago by now. But what does he have? I think he had a rib injury.
Cracked rib.
Okay, cracked rib. So he's going to be out for a little while. I think that, not that we technically care, but for real life purposes, this is a massive hit for the Dodgers. I don't anticipate it's going to cost them a playoff spot or anything, but they really don't have a natural replacement for him. Oddly enough, they made a trade with the Tigers to get a guy that they were basically going to have to be releasing, Trace Thompson, so maybe he'll get a little bit of time.
Bring up the Warriors again, Dave.
I didn't say Clay Thompson.
It's his brother or cousin or something.
Yeah, brother.
But I don't know, man. I mean, it'd be really helpful if Cody Bellinger all of a sudden started being Cody Bellinger. That would sure be helpful. But either way, they don't really have anything to replace him with, at least until they make a trade and they ridiculous. Yeah, they'll trade for Bryce Harper or something stupid, or they'll trade for Aaron Judge or God only who knows. Well, Aaron Judge wouldn't make any sense, but you get my point. They'll end up trading for somebody ridiculous, and they'll give up great prospects, but prospects that they don't even need. Like that team is just so well run that they're going to be fine. But any thoughts on Mookie Betts, the former Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, I'm bummed. He started off slow this year, but then he really got really hot, and I got sad because I was just thinking about him with the Red Sox. But this happened at a time where he was like destroying the ball. So really worst case for the dynasty owner of Mookie, for the Dodgers, and for Mookie, because like maybe he could have gotten the MVP. Like he could have been in that stratosphere, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, just similar to the Machado thing, it kind of sucks. He's been having a awesome year, so it's going to be hard to replace that in your fantasy lineup. I guess you just kind of try to weather the storm if you're in like a roto league. I'm not sure how much you can make up for that loss, because like Nick said, he's just been on fire the last like 3-4 weeks. He's just been murdering the ball. So I guess you just brace for the impact, and hopefully you're not like in first and trying to hang on. It's still early enough though. So
no, hopefully you are in first and you want to try to
this
hang
is
on.
True.
Like, I true. Mean, goddamn, yeah. man. Given the choice, I'd rather be in first and lose Mookie Betts and Machado than anything else.
Good point.
All right, Nick. Are you ready?
What time is it?
Down on the farm. Take it away, Jason.
I don't know if you just said that to Nick because Nick likes the intro, or
I think that turns Nick on a little bit.
The farm animal sounds.
Yeah, I think when that horse neighs at the end, I think Nick's desk raises about 2 inches.
Okay. This week,
his lady parts look like my ankle. Like,
oh. All right, this week we're going to talk about Spencer Steer of the Minnesota Twins. Right now, Pipeline ranks him as the Twins' eighth prospect. He mostly plays third base, but he also sprinkles in a little bit second, and also as well some shortstop. Mostly just third base and second, though. But right-handed hitter, he had a huge breakout in 2021. Basically, sprung up a bunch of lists, I'm sure, because the power numbers were just all of a sudden just jumped off the page. In 2021, he had 24 home runs, 66 RBIs, even had 8 stolen bases, and had 833 OPS. And now in 2022, he's kind of staying in that same course. It's only been 60 games so far this year, and he's already got 17 home runs, 55 RBIs, a 950 OPS, and a 305 ISO. I think at some point here, he's basically forcing the hand of the Minnesota Twins. I'm not sure. They called up Jose Miranda earlier this season. He's kind of been struggling. He's not giving them that power that they want out of third base. So I wouldn't be surprised if sooner than later, because a lot of these numbers also this year, I think, have almost all been at Triple A. A little bit of, Double A. I think he started out the season at Double A, but most recently he's been at Triple A, and he's just still been raking there. So I think at some point here shortly, we will see Spencer Steer with the Twins. And I know right now he's not, regarded as a top 100 prospect. So he's definitely somebody that, I could maybe take advantage of. Maybe even, depending on how shallow your league is, he could still be on the wire. So I'd definitely take a look and see if Spencer Steer is available, either via trade or the waiver wire.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard, I think, for him to crack that lineup, because you've got Jose Miranda that can play third base. They got Gio Urshela, who's actually been playing pretty decently. They obviously don't need any help in the outfield or at DH. So I don't know. It's gonna be hard to see him this season, barring maybe an injury or something. But I mean, Twins are competing for a playoff spot, so. There's something to be said for that. Now, to go back to what you said, he has more at bats in Double A than Triple A, but not by like a ton. He'll catch up here in a couple weeks, but it's pretty evenly split. His numbers are much worse at Triple A. He's got more power though, which is kind of weird. He's got more power, but everything else has been lacking. So I don't know if. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but I don't know. I wouldn't bank on seeing him this year. And with, Miranda there, I think Miranda's the superior, prospect. I think he's going to be given every chance in the world to fail multiple times before, Steer becomes something. But you know what you could see is him get flipped for a piece at the deadline, because like I said, the Twins are competing, and, I could see, a team –
Taking
a shot on Steer. Not that he's necessarily like going to be like, their future, but he could be, a guy that, the Twins give up, somebody and Spencer Steer and the deal. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get moved. What do you think, Nick?
He's the perfect secondary piece in a trade that,
yeah.
And that's somebody that after he gets traded, it would be the time for the owner to trade him, because he'll be like a trendy name, like in the news. People are like, oh, wait. They got, just name a prospect for the Twins that's like better quick.
Royce Lewis.
They got Royce Lewis, but wait, they also got Spencer Steer.
And then he'll get helium like, and.
Yeah, who's like the real guy that like
you or should. Maybe. I it wouldn't make a lot of sense because they just traded for him not that long ago, but I could see like Austin Martin and Spencer Steer getting traded for. You name a
pitcher, starter. Most likely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't think of his name. Frankie Montas.
Yes, exactly.
Like so that would be a trade that would make sense. Name,
that's the secondary guy traded that you trade as soon as that deal goes through, because people are going to search that name.
Yeah. No, I actually completely agree with you.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show. Where we got 30 seconds left to go, Nick, before we hit our quote-unquote 30-minute mark. Anything you want to talk about real quick?
What the fuck is going on with your ankle, bro?
Ah, damn it. I was hoping you would forget, but I wanted to give you the chance. It's not it's not even a cool story. Moral of the story really becomes I think I'm just old. I was we were at Little League practice, Jason.
Oh, my God. And happened in front of your son?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like all that.
it wasn't like carted off in an ambulance.
You know what? He For a minute, he thought it was his fault, and I'll explain why. And I had to tell him, no, it's just your dad's old. So I was throwing batting practice, right, because we still do a pitching machine. And so all the kids wanted to hit, and I was like, okay. So I was just throwing batting practice all day. And at the time, my son was playing first. And so, you know, somebody hit the ball somewhere, or somebody, you know, 12 hopped it to my son at first. My son caught it, fired it back to me, basically at the mound, and he threw it a little bit high. And so I literally jumped like this far. Like, I literally jumped like maybe
two inches. Your max vertical leap?
No, I kind of jumped, but I didn't really have to, kind of a thing. Like, I don't know. I just, you know, I kind of got just a little bit of air to catch it. And for whatever reason, I literally landed on my ankle like sideways.
Oh.
And so I heard it go crack, crack, crack. I heard three big cracks.
Ugh.
And I went to go get up, and I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, this, uh-oh. Well, there was only one kid left to bat, and so I powered through. And
Kurt Schilling.
Listen, man, I could barely stand, but I tossed. I was like, please hit the ball, because we were going just, you know, throwing it until they get a hit, you know. And so I'm like, please hit this goddamn ball. And it took like three shots, and they finally hit it. I went and I sat on the bench for a minute, and I looked at my ankle, and it was like, I don't know, you guys saw the photo. Yeah, it was like twice the size it was supposed to be. And I was like, oh my God, like this sucks. And I got home and it got like worse, and it got to like, I couldn't even walk around the house. I had a step ladder, like a really, like a small, like three step ladder. And I had to use that as like a walker to get to the bathroom. I was like, this isn't good. And then the next day it got a little bit better. And then, by yesterday, I actually mowed the lawn, which probably wasn't a very good idea, but I could walk well enough, and the lawn needed to get mowed, so I like mowed the lawn and stuff, and it's super bruised up. And so, yeah, I'm just old. I didn't really.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't like saving a kid from like a train or anything. I just half-ass jumped for a ball that was like 2 inches above my head. So anyway, so we got home, and my son had asked me. He's like, "Dad," he goes, "what happened? Like, how did that happen?" And I said, "Well, buddy," I said, "you threw the ball, and it was a little high, so I jumped a smidge, and I went to go grab, and I landed on my ankle." He's like, "Oh, that's my fault." He goes, I broke your foot." I'm like, no, it's not your fault. Like, I mean, he goes, "Yeah, but if I would have threw the ball better, you wouldn't have hurt yourself." And I was like, it really wasn't because of your throw. It was just because of the way I landed. But for a minute there, he all felt bad. Like, it was his fault. And I'm like, it definitely isn't your fault, buddy.
Well, that's nice that he cares.
Yeah, he felt bad.
Also, yeah. Happy Father's Day to the two of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Play your cards right, and maybe you too can be a father.
No, sir. Nice. I got one.
Okay. Well.
Trevor Story did just hit a home run, so I hope you did put him in your lineup.
He is in my cash lineup. So.
All right.
So that is
can you please plug your DFS thing?
My little daily thing. So I am doing a daily MLB DFS quick hit. It's literally going to be, I mean, just a couple minutes. I think each episode has been, I've only done two. They've been like 2.5 minutes and like just under 3 minutes. It's just going to be a real quick down and dirty.
All right. Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to get real dirty. I can't wear a shirt today. It was just straight nips. But, you know, I've just been going over some easy topics.
I'm not a DFS player at all, and I've watched the last 2 days, and I've already learned two new things. So,
oh, there you go. I'll wait tomorrow. Well, I don't know about tomorrow. I got a weird work day tomorrow, so I may or may not get to one tomorrow. But either way, the next episode probably tomorrow will be about stacking. You'll want to pay.
Oh, I want to hear that. Yeah, reason. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then after that, I mean, I'll probably talk about topics as I think of them and as they come up. But I mean, I'm kind of hitting the big ones early. At the end of the day, either way, I'm going to go through and give you a couple of pitchers to keep your eye on, to consider, give you a couple of hitters to keep your eye on, to consider for that specific day. And, I mean, I've been kicking ass. I won on Father's Day on Sunday. I took down 7 tournaments. Yesterday, you like that?
Yeah, that was sick.
Yesterday, I only won one, but I got like second or third and probably another at least handful. I mean, and a whole bunch.
We did an episode of like where you go over like the lingo. You said like MME, and I have no idea what that means.
Oh well, I guess.
So you need like an episode that goes over like some of the lingos and stuff that you guys talk about and use.
You need like a glossary. Well,
yeah, a glossary episode.
It's like whenever we were doing our advanced stat of the week, we would give the advanced stat and then we would give a definition.
Yeah.
This is a quick hit, so I really don't have time to break everything down. As a matter of fact, the first recording of today's episode, I thought I went by pretty quick, but I gave a lot of info. It was like 5.5 minutes, and I went, fuck. So I re-recorded it, and I took like a lot of it out to get down to under 3 minutes. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll imagine at some point soon, I'll keep that in mind, Jason, and maybe after the stacking episode, maybe I'll talk about contest and contest selection or something. And
yeah, just one of the episodes. Yeah,
in like 2 minutes, 3 minutes at a piece, I don't have a whole lot of time when I have to talk about something. And then, hey, by the way, these are the players today, so I'll get to it. I appreciate the insight though, but that comes out every day. There's not a scheduled time for it. It'll almost surely be in the morning because, you know, it can't be too late in the day because people are, you know, building their lineups
stuff,
but look for it in the mornings. You can subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel so that you can have access to those. I post it on my Twitter every day as well. So it's literally quick. Like you can watch it while you're taking your morning shit real fast if you want to. But it goes pretty quick.
That usually takes 2 minutes.
Well, that's between you and the missus. You'd want to like cast that or something onto your TV. You don't want to be, you know, or she can hold it for you. That's really, you know, maybe put on a tablet or something, and you know. All right. Well, I think
that's guys.
Appreciate everyone tuning in, and I think we will see you next week.
Perfect.
See ya.